The last theme of the course Advanced Topics on Systems Development is about modeling, meta-modeling and model-driven development, MDD. In this brief lecture, I'll go through some basic concepts and theoretical aspects and introduce the topics for the third seminar essay. Since the model-driven approach is based on modeling languages, this presentation is very much about the foundations of these languages. As a master student, everyone has become acquainted with some models like UML models and done at least some modeling in practice. Besides information systems development, models are common in several fields of everyday life. Therefore, models and modeling are intuitively quite easy concepts to understand. However, when models are used in such a multiple and complex way, as often done in systems and software engineering, it's necessary to have a deeper understanding of the theoretical foundations on the issue. Let's start with the definition of a model. Mauri Leppänen has defined a model as a thing that is used to help to understand, communicate, analyze, design, and implement some other thing to which the model refers. A model can be considered as a representation of the thing it refers to. Next, we can ask why to be interested in the representation instead of the thing itself. The benefits can be many. Let's look at the characteristics of a model first, and then the benefits of using models. Everyone has an intuitive idea what makes a model. In engineering, it's necessary to explicitly define what characteristics we assume from a model. Selig has found 5 core characteristics for a useful model. First, a model is always based on abstraction, which means hiding the less important properties of the model thing. Thus, a model should always be a reduced rendering of the system it represents. Second, a model should be understandable. When the notation of the model is known, all that is presented in the model should be intuitively understandable. Third, the picture of a system which is represented by the model should be in line with the reality that is modeled. Fourth, the model should enable us to correctly predict the non-obvious properties of the system. And fifth, the model should be significantly cheaper to construct than the system itself. When we look at human-made artifacts, such as buildings, vehicles, or software systems, they are often very complex. They are complex to understand, they are complex to design, they are complex to implement. Since a model is an abstraction of its reference, it is possible, as said before, to hide or ignore irrelevant details of the referent thing. Thus, it is possible, for example, to understand the core behavior of a system through simplified models. All that matters is or should be included in the model. If a complex system should be implemented without any model of it, a lot of risks could come true. This is easy to understand when we think about traditional engineering like building bridges or airplanes. No one assumed that these artifacts would be designed by implementing them through trial and error. By modeling such systems, wrong or useless implementations can be avoided. As a consequence, when modeling helps to see the critical features of a system before expensive implementation, financial risks are more manageable. This is particularly true with material products, but also with complex immaterial products like software. To be useful not only for an individual designer, for example, but also for a wide spectrum of people, the model should follow rules that are familiar to these people. The possible constructs of a model are defined by the metamodel. A metamodel is actually a model of a model. It tells what kind of modeling concepts the model can include. The metamodel is a crucial part of a modeling language. Whereas an UML class diagram may represent the relevant entities of the problem domain and their relationships, the metamodel called UML class model defines the constructs that can be used when drawing an UML class diagram. Let's take a closer look at this example. If the problem domain of our interest was an online shop, for example, the things of the reality are things like customers and orders. A customer is a material thing, while an order is a more conceptual thing that actually forms a relationship between a customer and a product. Nevertheless, both a customer and an order are real things of the system to be modeled. At the model level, the things of the real world, like customers and orders, are modeled by modeling constructs that follow certain rules. The model could be an UML class diagram. This means that the real-life things or entities are modeled as classes. UML classes are abstractions of entities of the reality. The customer class, for example, is an abstraction of all customers. The class is defined through the crucial properties that are common to all customers. We say that an individual customer, or to be exact, an individual customer as a set of values of the crucial properties attached to all customers, is an instance of the customer class. When the system is modeled by using UML class diagrams, it is necessary to know how such a diagram is constructed. The constructs of an UML class diagram are defined in the metamodel called UML class model. It tells us that a UML class diagram consists of classes, attributes of each class, and relationships between classes. Let's try to understand a little more about the linguistic nature of models, and let's do it from the perspective of semiotics. Semiotics is the study of signs, symbols, and meaning-making. It's easy to understand that all these are crucial for human communications. In semiotics, there are three realms: the realm of signs, the realm of concepts, and the realm of reference. Concepts are mental things in our brains. Signs are representations of concepts. A sign can be a word or a facial expression or whatever that represents a concept. Signs are crucial for interpersonal communications. Referent is a thing in reality. A concept in our mind refers to a thing in reality. A sign is not directly associated with the referent, because a sign may signify several concepts that each refers to a particular referent. Let's now look at the modeling levels from the semiotic perspective. At the instance level, there is a real person John. The sign John signifies the concept John that in turn refers to its referent John. At the second level, called type level in the figure, the sign person signifies the concept person that refers all possible persons. The concept person can be considered as an instance of the entity type at the meta level. Other instances of the entity type could include customer, order, and so on. The entity type is a meta-concept. The instances of meta-concepts are type concepts for another instance concept. The meta-concepts refer no concrete reference. As mentioned, a model is represented in a modeling language. Although a metamodel is often considered as the modeling language in which the model is represented, a modeling language is, in fact, a wider concept that consists of both syntax and semantics. Depending on the formality of the language, the models can be categorized into three categories: informal, semi-formal, and formal models. Informal models are free models that are basically restricted in their structure only by the model's imagination. Examples include verbal and pictorial models. Semi-formal models are constrained by the syntax of the language. Examples of this category include diagrams, tables, and matrices. Formal models are represented in a formal language such as programming language or mathematical constructs. These languages have rigorously defined syntax and semantics. As said, a language consists of syntax and semantics. Syntax can be further divided into two parts: abstract syntax and concrete syntax. An abstract syntax is about the concepts of a language as well as the structure of the concepts. The abstract syntax does not tell how the concepts are represented. Instead, the concrete syntax gives the symbols for representing the constructs of the language. A metamodel equals to the abstract syntax of a language. In the figure, we find a metamodel for ER diagrams. It provides the modeling concepts and the relationships between them. The notation that is used to draw an ER diagram is depicted in the concrete syntax. Semantics tells us the meaning of a model. In other words, in our example, the semantics tells how the ER model relates to its reference in the real world. In software engineering, modeling is generally distinguished from coding. Models are used for designing, understanding, and specifying the system, as well as for the different purposes of documentation. Coding is performed to implement the system. Models are not always necessary. This is the case when the system to be implemented is very small, for example. In the early days of software development, systems were often directly implemented without any modeling. As the problem domains of developed systems became more complex, modeling became a common and routine part of systems development. Models were, however, kept separate from the code, since there were no efficient means to transfer models to codes. The basic idea of model-driven development is to enable a direct and a complete transformation from models to code. This means that the focus of system development is on modeling the problem domain with the concepts of the domain. When building or improving a system, it is done by modeling, not by coding. Around the year 2000, it was widely realized that improvement in neither programming languages nor traditional modeling languages could provide any more significant improvements in productivity. Therefore, the focus was shifted to software engineering processes. The new ideas included, for example, component-based software development, agile development, and model-driven development. While agile development attempts to make the process efficient and of high quality by quick iterations and incremental products, model-driven development emphasizes that the productivity improvements can be reached when the developers can focus on higher abstraction levels, actually on solving the problems at the problem domain level, not the coding level. Thus, whereas agile development can be seen as implementation-oriented, model-driven development is modeling-oriented. However, and this is important to remember, modeling in model-driven development, modeling is not a value as such, but rather an effective way of implementing systems. Model-driven approach relies very much on meta-modeling and defining an exact modeling language. Actually, such a language or languages are absolutely necessary for successful MDD. When the transformations from models to lower-level models or to code cannot be done automatically, but it requires extra modifications, a great deal of the benefits of MDD is lost. In fact, it seems that the missing of automatic transformation or transformations is a main cause why MDD has not been as successful as thought 10 years ago. Probably the best known example of model-driven development, at least outside domain-specific modeling that I'll discuss in the final slide, is the object management group's model-driven architecture. Model-driven architecture divides the models into three levels that reflect different levels of abstraction. The highest level is called computational independent model. This is a domain model that is specified by domain experts. The model doesn't show any details of the structure of the system. At the next level, there is the platform independent model, which is a logical model of the computerized system. It doesn't take into account any of the platform-specific features of the system. At the lowest level, there is the platform-specific model that is specific to the technology by which the system is implemented. The The meta modeling architecture of model driven architecture is very complex. Domain specific modeling can be seen as a special case of model driven development. It also praises the benefits of MDD, but it argues that the useful and effective modeling language for MDD can never be generic, but rather domain-specific. For example, UML is often criticized by the DSM advocates to be far too generic, leading to modeling without direct link to implementation. Instead, when the modeling concepts are derived from the model domain, the transformations from models to implementation could be straightforward. Finally, a few words about the essays. Since metamodeling and model-driven development are obviously uncommon to most of the students, the essays on this theme can be on relatively general level. The basic idea is to introduce the writers to these interesting but rather challenging issues. Besides the topics that directly relate to the themes discussed in this brief lecture, like metamodeling, model-driven development, domain-specific modeling and model-driven architecture, there are a few topics that are more general and perhaps a little more practical too, like modeling information systems in general or UML as a modeling language. The team can also write the essay on its own topic that is closely related to modeling or metamodeling.